Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the weekly installment of the podcast of all podcasts, Living Loud Nation, for Tuesday, March 13, 2018. I'm your host, Rob Smirnoff-Buzzle, alongside, as always, that boy, the man himself, the man with the plan, Mr. CJ Glidden.
Hello there. I'm coming from you from Compton because I am living that thug life. I'm just straight on thugging, man. Oh, yeah. I hold my gun sideways, man.
Hey, by the way, man, a deep plug real quick before we get started. There's this herbal land that I've been taking that we'll call it ghetto maid hooked me up with, and it's called Nature's Formula. Again, that's called Nature's Formula. And basically what you do is, like, you boil it like you would boil tea, you know, like a tea, not tea bag.
I'm doing that right now, man. I'm teabagging somebody
But for real, like, what you do is you boil it in the morning before you eat for breakfast. Then you boil it again in the afternoon for lunch. And then before you go to bed, you boil it again, like the nighttime formula. And, bro, I'm relaxed. I haven't been this relaxed in a long, long time.
That is nice. Okay.
So
Let's start the show. Like I said, man. I'm coming from you straight out of Compton, man. Because I'm living that thug life, man. Straight on thugging, man. But all honesty, man, I do live in a hoodish area in Canoga Park, California. I'm wearing right now my Tupac shirt. I really am. I have a Tupac shirt. Me and Tupac are about as gangster as it comes. I mean, Tupac and I have the same amount of street cred and the same amount of being gangsters, as in we're not gangsters. He's sadly dead because, you know, people took his gimmick to be real. And there's gimmicks, there's perceptions, and then there's posers. That's what this episode's about. I have been burned by so many posers. It's pretty depressing and pathetic. You know, when it comes to business and it comes to what my passion is, you know, my passion is filmmaking, editing, all that stuff. But when it comes to business, I am upfront with everybody. I put my balls on the table. I put everything on the table, metaphorically speaking, that is. I put it all on the table. People know what they're getting into when they work with me. Now, unfortunately, you know, me being honest and upfront with people, it's not necessarily always returned. I always end up with somebody who's a poser, who pretends they're somebody bigger than they are. And you would think I would understand posers. I would be able to spot them out. I can sometimes. I can, I'll be honest. But, you know, my late father was a poser. He, before he died, you know, for years was telling everybody, oh, yeah, I'm rich. You know, he would wear flashy clothes. He would wear flashy watches. He would tell everybody that we had houses on the East Coast, that we came from money, that we, you know, all this stuff. So when he died, people started coming out of the woodwork thinking this was all true. You know, his friends, his so-called friends who he blatantly lied to and who bought in, who were marks, who were all marks of his. I mean, hell, my dad robbed the cigar place where he hung out with all these people. My dad used to also steal from the smoke shops. A smoke shop, this guy trusted my dad. My dad had this demeanor to him. He came off as real. And he would, you know, he robbed these people blind. You know, but there were, you know, in the industry I'm trying really hard to be in, and in a number of different, you know, things, there's always those posers, especially out where I live. I don't know where you live. You know what I'm talking about when I say a poser, right?
Right. Someone pretending to be something that they're not.
I mean, you know, thugs, let's say gangsters, cardboard gangsters, like Don Tony likes to talk about. I've, you know, when I was younger, when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, was I a poser at times? Yes. As I've gotten older, I honestly don't give a crap what people think of me. I am who I am. This is who I am. Take me or leave me. I do believe in self-improvement and all that jazz, but my point is I don't need to pretend I'm somebody I'm not anymore, if you get what I mean, at this point in my life. You know, my father was a very smart man, and if he would have used his smarts for something productive instead of swindling and robbing and criminal activities, I would be talking to you from a mansion right now. And not a $1,500 a month one bedroom apartment in Canoga Park, California.
Right.
Now, what are your experiences with some posers?
Well, when you say posers, you know, I take that as a different meaning. You know what I'm saying? Like, a poser to me would be someone that is basically pretending to be someone that they're not.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I producers. You know how many freaking writers and producers who have claimed to be writers and producers who are in reality just guys sitting in a Starbucks who are doing nothing? You know what I mean? Out here, you know? So, yeah, people who pretend are somebody they're not. Like me, coming on here and saying I'm from Compton, you know, and I'm living that thug life. No, I'm drinking some instant coffee right now with a lot of hazelnut and vanilla.
Okay, I see what you mean. I myself, you know, when I was trying to find myself, you know, as a teenager, mm-hmm. I would try to, you know, dwindle in hanging out with, you know, not necessarily the wrong crowd, but like the skateboarders and headbangers.
Because
I felt like that I had something in common with them, but the thing about it was that really we didn't really, other than the type of music that we liked, you know, we really didn't have much in common. And by trying to hang out with these people and trying to be something that I wasn't, you know, completely wasn't who I was, you know, it turned a lot of people off. So, you know, I myself have been a poser, and I have
yeah,
no
me too. Problem. In high school, in high school, I was a total. I jumped from one bandwagon to the other. You know, when I was younger, when I was a cardboard gangster. I wasn't one of the white kids in suburbia trying to be black. I never have tried to do that. That to me is just weird. I don't understand that. Where white kids want to be black and want to live the hood lifestyle. I see, that's the thing. I've been on both sides of the tracks. I don't want to live the poor lifestyle or the hood lifestyle. That is the dangerous lifestyle. That gets you shot. I have been to Skid Row, you know, I've been to Skid Row many times, you know, I, you know what I mean? I don't, you know, when I see like, okay, we're going to have to take this outside. So We're gonna go on location real fast. Bailey's freaking out. So we're gonna take this outside.
Okay. You're talking about Bailey. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yes. My dog. Now, you know, there's a difference between being a poser and doing a gimmick. You know, or an actor. Like when I was in high school, one of the things we were doing was studying Shakespeare. And I decided to act like a diva. You know what I mean? A diva actor, because we were doing a little bit of Shakespeare, and I acted all high and mighty. And people, you know, some people got what I was doing, some people didn't. They thought, you know, what an a-hole. But, you know, there's a difference, you know, remember Queer Eye?
Yeah.
Remember the Queer Eye? So they brought that show back. The new show is actually even better than the original one. But the point is, there was a thing called metrosexuality, where you would wear product, you would have product in your hair, you would dress, you know, a certain way. And I did my version of it, where I dressed kind of a mix of metro with the sort of gangsta style. And I wore chains and I wore a crucifix.
Yeah.
A fake silver crucifix. You know, the type of necklace when you wear that's fake, it leaves a green stain on your neck or your, you know what I mean? That type of silver.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. But, you know, there are a number of people out there who, you know, when you need something and you're like, I need something done, and you think these people are the people for the job, and then you find out, oh, no, they're full of crap. I mean, I'm sure you've known people where you're like, hey, I need your help. You're this guy, blah, blah, blah. And then they turned out, oh, no, I'm really not. It's all image. Like, I'm sure you met some tough guys over the years who have pretended to be big tough guys, and turns out they can't even fight.
Yeah, it sounds like my ex-wife's baby's dad /boyfriend. I mean, have I ever showed you a picture of this guy?
You want to talk about cast of characters?
Yeah. You want to talk about cast of characters? That's a cast of characters, you know. And when you look at him, you would think, like, okay, he's got a mohawk and he's kind of tall. Yeah, he's a big dude. And on the outside, if you didn't know who the guy was, you'd be like, okay, this is somebody you don't want to mess with. But then when I was talking to him, and I won't go into detail, but I'll just keep it at this. When I was talking to him, trying to get to her in order to take care of some business, he was acting like a straight, pardon my language, pussy. You know, it's just that simple. He acted like a straight pussy, and
it's okay,
you know,
to say that. They say it on the radio. You just, you know, it's in context. You know, if you would have used it in a sexual term, then that would be
right.
Going over the line.
Pardon the language, but he acted like a straight bitch.
And that's the thing. Let's say I had a former best friend / business partner who had gone through a bunch of different phases. He's now, you know, he's my age, but he's living at home still. Not really gone past, not really evolved at all as a person. But he would, what people would say, is a poser, you know, an internet tough guy, where he talks a big game in video, but when it came down to it, he couldn't back me up in a fight. You know, I don't like fighting. I've been in probably two fights in my life. One of them was I was sucker punched when I tried to get out of the fight. And because I realized, oh, this is going to get bad. That guy ended up getting arrested. I ended up getting suspended. Now, I never went down to the ground. Now, I look a certain way to where present myself in a certain way or I look a certain way where I could pass as somebody not to mess with just by how I look. You know, I if it comes down to it and I have to defend myself, I'm going to do that. Do I look
right.
for a fight? No. Do I like fighting? No. Have I, thought about, but at the end of the day, it's like, okay, I'm not pretending to be a tough guy. I'm somebody who wants to defend myself. Now, there were times where I was a lot crazier, and those were times where, my former friend / former business partner who, people could put two and two together if they really Google my name and what have you, where he presents himself as this righteous person in public, but he's really full of crap behind the scenes. And a number of people are starting to see that because in reality, I was writing a lot of his stuff that he was saying when we were working together. Because I was helping present an image. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the image versus reality is quite sad compared to the the bigger-than-life image. You know? There was a time I played a character where I guess I did a good enough job as an actor where people were writing to me thinking I was real. You know?
Yeah.
One of the biggest ironies in everything is, the group Insane Clown Posse? Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the group Insane Clown Posse. They are, it's sad that I used to be a fan of theirs. I still like a few songs. I'm not a juggalo. But they do lyrics where people, because they're it's a joke that they're clown rappers. That's a gimmick. They even say, hey, we decided to paint our face like clowns because it was something unique. Something unique. And they have a fake rap group called Psychopathic Writers, where they're mocking gangster rap with their poser lyrics and over-the-top antics. It's all, it's making fun of the rap. It's making fun of it, but people take these poser people and their fans take their lyrics literally and don't understand, hey, we're making fun of people like you. Because that's unfortunately a lot of posers don't understand context. Like a lot of posers really believe Tupac was a thug. A lot of posers really believed that a lot of rappers are actually who they're are singing about themselves. No, rappers are poets who are singing about or are rapping about what they grew up with and what's going on around them. A lot of rappers are just lyricists. They're not really that character that they're portraying in the video. But people don't understand, and mostly posers and wannabe gangsters don't understand that. It's, it's the same people who really believe The Undertaker has magic or really believe
right.
Kane and Undertaker are brothers. There's a novel about Glenn Jacobs Callaway, and it's a gimmick novel. What's the word called in wrestling where it's fake but people want to kayfabe? It's a kayfabe novel.
Kayfabe, yeah.
That's what it is. And people don't realize, you know, kayfabe is in other things, but there's that image people present. You know, people don't realize, you know, like I said, my former business partner and best friend, people really did buy him as he was saying who he was. But when it came down to somebody really starting to come after him, I get phone calls. I remember I got a phone call from this guy. He was a friend of mine. And he said, hey, why aren't you helping this guy you call your brother? I said, hey, he's a grown man. Why do I got to help him? He said, but listen, you know, the guy, he even said to me, he's like, you know, he's a big talker on his videos. But in all reality, he's a small guy. He's 5'5", maybe with lifts on. And, you know, he lives with his parents. He's from, you know, he's kind of maybe a little bit of upper middle class. His dad's house has a giant electric gate around it, okay? That should tell you where this guy is from. He's lived there for almost 32 years his whole life. Me, I lived all over. I've lived all over as a child. I moved different areas in L.A., some of them great, some of them bad. You know, I've been out of the country a few times. You know, I've seen the world. You know, this guy, you know, he's never seen the actual world. He's never seen, you know, really outside his parents' place unless he takes a little trip. But in all reality, he's not seen. So he kind of has a different perspective on things where he can be a big talker, but his ass doesn't have to cash it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, there's you know, we all want to present the best version of ourselves, whether we're on a date or for a job interview. But there's presenting, like, okay, for example, since we're going to be closing out soon. So for example, on the 24th, we're finally having a wake for my dad. And I don't know how many people are going to be there. But a number of his friends, you know, might be there who were from the cigar lounge. These people didn't really know my dad, but they said, "Oh, you know, we missed the Chris that we knew. That was my father's name was Chris. We missed the Chris that we knew. We don't know the other one that you guys know. You know me, I know a whole other different side of my dad that I'm not going to go into here. But the point is." You know, him and I became friends at the end, you know, last few years. We had an actual friendship, which is great. But, you know, I got to sit there and be nice to these people. I don't know. I don't care about. I've even been debating about not even going because I don't really want to be in the house my dad died in. I don't really want to see all these people. You know, I don't care about them. I don't care how they felt about my dad. But I have to present a united front. I have to sit there and say, thank you for coming. I have to sit there and smile and be the grieving son all these months later. You know, and in all reality, I have to sit there and be a character. So these people feel better about themselves. So these people feel better. It's for them. It's not for me. This wake is not for me. This wake is for all of them. You know, the pathetic people. You know, the owner of the cigar lounge. He knew my dad broke in there and stole crap. He knew my dad stole a bunch of cigars. And he said, I didn't call the police because I knew he was under the influence. Because my dad, whenever he would get under the influence of high, you know, let's say a handful of of Xanax and alcohol, well, my dad would want the rush of breaking the law. He liked the rush of stealing. Even he didn't care about the objects he was stealing. And the reason why this owner of the store or the lounge didn't press charges was because he knew my dad was under the influence. And because he's also a drug addict, this guy. You know, I gotta sit there and meet these strangers that I don't know. I don't care about, and I have to sit there and pretend to be somebody I'm not. I have to act. Am I sad my dad passed away? Yes. Did I grieve already? Yes. Do I really want to do this and go there? No, I don't. But, you know, we all have to do things that we don't want to do. You know?
I agree.
In order, you know, we all have to do it. We all have to sit there. We all have to. Everybody in life has to look up on the ceiling and think of England at least once in their life, maybe more than that. Some people don't get my reference to that, of looking at the ceiling and thinking of England. It's a getting screwed joke. So, closing up, since we have a few moments left, I guess, unless you want to do the after party, I don't know.
I'll leave it with this. You know, it was something my brother said once to me, and even though he doesn't live it, I tried to live it, and me being your friend, You know me very well, and the phrase that he used was keep it real and it always will be real. Now, even though I try to live by that creed, that's not always the case with most people. You can be as real as you want to. You can try to do whatever you can to keep it quote unquote real. But at the end of the day, it is definitely a situation where trying to be real and keeping it real are two different things. Because anyone can sit there and say that they're real and not be real, and they can sit there and put on a facade. It's like masquerading around with a mask on. But
that's the thing, dude. You know what? People, in all reality, people don't want you to be real. Because if I could be as real as I wanted to be, I would, you know, nobody would be my friend on Facebook. You know, unfortunately, we live in a world where you have to lie at times, just out of courtesy. And there are people that say, I don't lie, I don't do that, I don't do that, you know. But you have to in order to maintain friendships, you have to in order to maintain relationships, business, what have you. Sometimes you have to shake somebody's hand, look them in the eyes, and straight up lie to them. Because it's what's best for business, it's what's best for any number of things. It's what's best for you, you know, it doesn't matter what the reason is, but you have to do it. And nobody teaches you that as a child. You know, they say lying is bad. Well, no, in some contexts and in some cases, lying is actually perfectly acceptable. And some people prefer to be lied to.
Never thought about it that way. We got about 20 seconds left. Anything else you wanted to add?
I just want anybody that's listening to this, hey, thank you for listening. Don't do drugs and practice safe sex.
And with that being said, I am Rob Chernoff-Uzzle. He's CJ Glickman, and this has been Living Loud Nation for March 13, 2018. CJ, I'll give you a call here in a little bit, and we'll take it from there. So we'll catch you on the next go-around. We may have another podcast this coming weekend. Depends on what happens. But it's not, we'll catch you next Tuesday at the same time. So long, everyone.